The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Faithful God, most merciful Judge, you care for your children with firmness and compassion. By your Spirit, nurture us who live in your kingdom, that we may be rooted in the way of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Jesus loves the little children,
all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
First reading is from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 86 responsively. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name.
I will thank you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and glorify your name forevermore.
For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the pit of death. But you, O Lord, are gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and full of kindness and truth.
Turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the child of your handmaid.
Show me a sign of your favor so that those who hate me may see it and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. A reading from Romans. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Word of God, word of life.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to somebody who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you will uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with a fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." The Gospel of the Lord. It's really Sundays like these that I find preaching the text to be a little difficult. See, parables are really meant to evoke a number of images and interpretations, but sometimes the disciples, all right, let's not kid ourselves, most of the time the disciples, they don't get what Jesus is saying. So there are multiple occasions in the gospel account where the disciples come back and they ask Jesus, "Can you explain this to us?" And so Jesus does explain this parable, which makes my job a little more difficult because he already gives the explanation of the parable. There's not a lot of room for me to interpret there. But let's go over this again. There's a master farmer who has slaves and a field of land. The one who sowed the seed, this master, is Jesus. He sows the good seed. The evil one, the devil, sows the bad seed. The slaves are the disciples, the children of God. And then the slaves start to notice wheat and weeds are growing together. The slaves, they immediately want to uproot these weeds. But the farmer sees a bigger picture. The farmer knows that if you uproot the weeds, you'll also uproot the wheat. And that could destroy the entire field. Wheat and weeds coming up together would create a very big mess. So we're supposed to let them grow together. And the end of the age of this world is this harvest time. That's when it'll be uprooted. The wheat will be gathered into barns. Does anybody here think of heaven as a barn? Not really, right? And the weeds, they'll be thrown into the fire. Oh yeah. And it's not our job to do this. It's not the disciples' job to do this. The angels whom God appoints. And that's what we're supposed to listen to. So this parable is one that illustrates the end of time. This parable is called an eschatological parable. It talks about future events that are going to happen. The curtain of history will eventually be drawn. And we don't really have a full grasp of this parable because it really hasn't happened yet. We're still waiting for it. In the last few months, with the end of the world really not taking place, as some had predicted, it's become fashionable to really talk about the end of the world. There's been more fascination with this end of the world, Jesus returning. But it's not something that we should fear. It's not something we should fear, despite what billboards have claimed. I'm actually really going to look forward to this. I'm looking forward to God wiping away all evil and ushering in the full kingdom, where there's going to be no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. I'm looking forward to when God will make all things new and right. And so creation groans, waiting for adoption. And even I want to tell God to hurry up. Come on, God, don't you see what's going on down here? Don't you recognize the pain in the world? Won't you exact justice on all those who are most definitely weeds? I feel like God should be doing more. But I think that's exactly my problem. I just don't have patience. I'm like the slave laborers who want to uproot the weeds before the harvest time. I want to make it my job to tell God clearly who are the ones deserving everlasting life and those who deserve the fire. Patience is very important, though. We really don't believe in patience anymore. There was a time when you had to wait for your food to grow. There was a time when you had to plan your meals months ahead of time. Today, I can go into a store and buy food, almost any food, year-round. We can contact almost anybody at any time by a cell phone. Landlines are something that my children are going to find to be antiquated. For my youth group, email is something their parents use. They use texting and Facebook. There was a time when calling on someone meant going to their house. Traveling took time and patience. It's really interesting that with sections of the 405 being closed this weekend, news reports call it Carmageddon, Carpocalypse. News are telling people to plan their day, plan their traveling, have patience. The news is telling us to have patience. And most people are deciding it's better just not to go out. As much as I blame modern technology and our modern mindset for our lack of patience, it really seems that this is something that has always been the case. We've always not had patience. During the first century, there was a lot of religious groups who were interested in ushering in the kingdom of God. They wanted to throw out the Roman occupation. And they thought it would be good if they helped God along. They would usher in the kingdom by violence, even. There were those who thought that purity of doctrine, moral character was needed. So they spent all their times fighting against the pagans and purifying their own religion, telling them to hurry up and do these things. we find these people today. Purify our church, purify our theology, our moral character. Then God would usher in the kingdom. God would usher in the end of time. So that when this is done, we can hold it over God's head. See, we've done our part. Now it's your turn. Early in the Gospel of Luke, we hear about disciples. James and John, they reject Jesus. Somebody in a town does. And James and John says, let's call down fire from heaven. Jesus says, hold on now. And he rebukes them, reminding us and the disciples that he's the farmer. He gets to decide when the time is right for the harvest. We're not the masters there. We're the slaves. We don't get to tell God how to let the harvest grow and when to cut it all down. We're not the masters of harvest time. Patience. And so it's no surprising that this parable is also addressing those back then and now who want the kingdom of God to be ushered in quickly. Patience, but also tolerance. The wheat and the weeds live together for a time. If we go about trying to separate the two and uprooting them, both will be destroyed. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "We must learn to live together as brothers and sisters, or we perish together as fools." Tolerance is necessary. But let's not take tolerance for passivity. We must continue to work for justice in this age, but we realize that, as Reinhold Niebuhr said, it's proximate justice. The farmer tolerates the weeds, knowing full well what is going to happen when the harvest will come. It's the farmer who knows the full extent of who the wheat is and who the weeds are. I think I'm pretty good at weeding people out. I think I have a clear grasp on what justice would look like for some. So I sometimes say, God, please let me uproot these weeds. But I think that's also my problem. I so often am very sure about who the weeds and who the weed are. But God knows that when both grow together, that when weeds and the wheat that he's talking about, they look a lot alike until the harvest time. You can't really know the difference. So in our effort to uproot weeds, we would uproot wheat, and, well, that wouldn't be good. Besides that, roots might be intertwined. It's better to wait. It's better to have patience. It's better to tolerate it for a time. Sometimes I think this parable is a little too simple. I don't think it's as simple as people either being wheat or weeds, as this parable depicts. Children of light or children of darkness. Martin Luther said that we are simultaneously both sinner and saint. Someone told me this week, there are days that I know I wake up and I'm a weed. We have both of these things working in us. We are at the same time both wheat and weeds. St. Augustine said, the difference between wheat and weeds in the field is that they're always wheats and weed. But in the Lord's field, at times, what was wheat turns into weeds, and what was weeds turns into wheat. No one knows what one will really be tomorrow. Can weeds become wheat then? I know so. I know that there are people who have been headed down the path to destruction. They've seen the fire, and just before entering it, have encountered a living God who made their lives new again. Isn't that all of our stories, though? Isn't that humanity's story? It was God who loved us so much that he didn't leave us in our own misery. God didn't leave us believing that we were the masters of our own universe. God became man, and he taught us how to live. He taught us what it meant to be dependent on him. And it was this God-man, this Jesus, who took away our sins . And because of that, because God is the master of this field and of this earth, we wait patiently and with tolerance. We wait for the day that the fires that are prepared for the weeds are not needed, because we hope that weeds are turned into wheat. Amen.